Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, as always, presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Jason Bishop, and Johnny Cakes Auville. Cakes, I see you have the Alex's Runs shirt. That was that kid, right? Kid that was running for charity?
Actually, it was this is a boy who was killed in a car accident, unfortunately,
at a
young age that grew up in Olney. It's just a charity that I've supported over the years.
Got you. I was thinking about that little boy that came in studio that was running all the time.
No, different name. That was Mateo, I believe.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Mateo. I'm botching it. All right, join us right now to talk a little baseball. Insider for Radio.com, Bob Nightingale joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And, Bob, while we actually have some baseball, I see that you were mentioning that the Dodgers vowed not to forget the Astros, and you have that series coming up. What are your thoughts heading into that one?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the Dodgers were a lot of trash talking during the spring. With the Astros, Correa telling Bellinger to shut up. They've had enough. So I'll always be watching, and particularly the umpire crew, to make sure there's no retaliation. But we'll see. We'll see.
That feels like 2 years ago, by the way.
I know. It feels forever.
Yeah.
But what didn't they say if they see any of that? They especially with all this nonsense going on, that they're not going to put up with any of this, right? Like, they almost are going to get off on it. They might have to pay their dues next year.
I mean, can you imagine if there was a brawl right there at the pitcher's mound?
Yeah, right?
How many guys would test positive the next week?
Right, right. That's why I think guys have to be careful, because if you start a brawl or plunk a guy on purpose, even if you're out 10 days, that's going to feel like a month in regular season. So, yeah, they got to be real careful.
All right, so any indication of where the Marlins players contracted the virus? Do we know this? Were they out at a restaurant, at a bar, or was it just a couple guys and they just spread it out throughout the clubhouse? How'd that work? Do we know?
No, I still don't know. The theory is they got it in Atlanta. There was a rain delay when they played an exhibition series against Atlanta Braves before going up to Philadelphia. And during that rain delay, they were all packed into a dugout. There was no social distancing at all. So that's what the theory is, that it happened then.
But who was the super spreader?
Sure. Yeah.
Who was the guy that got it first that gave it to everybody?
Yeah, who knows? I'm almost positive we're going to find that out. But, yeah, but that, I think that's the most common theory, is that it happened there and not someone going to a nightclub or anything like that.
So then they played Philly for three, and then – they found out, I guess, in that third game that a couple of guys did test positive. So the Phillies players were notified. Bryce Harper was wearing the mask on the base pass. Mm-hmm. And do we know what the test results of the Phillies has been since they did cancel that first game with the Yankees?
Yeah, I still don't know. We're supposed to find out last night and did not. So I think that should come out sometime before noon today. Same, how many Marlins guys. I mean, right now it's 11 players. You know, we'll see if it gets up to 20 players or something like that. That's the Yankees going to come in. You know, they don't want to use that same clubhouse. You know, the Marlins are just in. So, the Marlins never went home. So it's very possible the Marlins just bust over to Baltimore today and play, pick up the series there, because they're supposed to start a two-game series in Baltimore beginning tomorrow anyway.
So they would play a doubleheader tomorrow.
Or maybe even play a game today in Baltimore, because they weren't supposed to play those two games in Miami. Oh. Those games are gone now. They won't be playing those games in Miami.
Gotcha. And then, of course, the Nats are scheduled to fly to Miami to play the Marlins this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What do you think happens there?
Right now I think it happens. Particularly if they think that, the Marlins got it outside Miami. So, I would think then they would play. I really would. It's possible to say just stay put in Washington. Obviously, the Marlins are right there anyway. You know, just take a bus up to, Washington, D.C. from Baltimore. I think it just depends how widespread this was for the Marlins. If there's no more positive cases, I would think they'd play that series in Miami.
All right, so let's talk about some baseball here. And let's focus in on our local team, the Nats. This is kind of what we didn't want, and everybody warned about, is a slow start. Now, it's only 1-3, and, you don't want to get crazy. But it is a shortened season, and even though they've expanded the playoffs, you can't dig too big a hole. They don't have Soto in there. It's interesting that they've barely played Keyboom, but they haven't been able to score a lot of runs yet. Are you seeing any fatal flaws yet, or is it just way too early to make a call like that?
Yeah, just too early. If it was an old playoff format, we only had 10 teams, then it's like, okay, you start to, a little bit of urgency, not saying panic, a little urgency. But with 16 teams still involved now, I just think it's way too soon. If there's a losing series after series for the first 3 weeks, then it's a real concern. But, too early now. I mean, too many teams have had slow starts. Out of the gate, we saw a bunch of surprises. Detroit Tigers, beating up on the Reds. The Giants leading with the Dodgers. So far nothing's made sense.
What is your take on them barely playing Keyboom so far? Just sort of matchups, or they kind of gave weird answers. They wanted to keep saying publicly he's our guy, he's our starting third baseman, but they also made allusions to other guys playing over there, and so far he's only played 1 out of 4.
Yeah, it's almost like you want to send a little bit of a message like, okay, you're not quite ready yet. We're not just going to hand you that job. Dodgers did the same thing with Gavin Lux, their star, supposed to be the Rookie of the Year winner at second base. Didn't even make the opening day roster. So I think with Keyboom there, it's like, okay, show us you can take that job and run with it. Otherwise, we'll just keep mixing and matching.
Talk to Bob Nightingale, Radio.com, MLB Insider. Insider call is brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. We were talking about this yesterday with the new rules in place. Forget the wild card. I do believe that thing's temporary, but who knows? Maybe it'll expand the playoffs. The extra innings rule, the designated hitter in the National League throughout Major League Baseball, are these things that are in play for upcoming seasons, or is it a one-off and it's just going to be this year?
Yeah, right now one-off on everything, including expanded playoffs. So, DH, the extra inning rule. I think the extra inning rule will stay once you hit the 12th inning. Maybe even an inning or so later. But within the 12th inning, that rule may be to stay. I think the players will end up liking it. And I think the fans will, too. As the players will say, why do we have the most boring overtime in all four major sports? Yeah, in a sense, they're right. I mean, when a game goes in the 10th inning, all the fans, that were in the stands, plea for the exits on the morning and going in the press box or broadcast booth. So I think that that one has a chance to stay around, and as well as the DH.
I haven't really paid attention, watched a couple games where that they've gone in extra innings, but what's been the managerial decision on that particular scenario? Are they bunting the guy over to third with that first at bat, or are they letting – I guess it depends on the hitter, but are they mostly just letting them hit away?
Yeah, I think so far they've been aggressive, just letting him hit away. And it's kind of backfired. I'm not sure the visiting team has, maybe one game so far, has won it that way. Otherwise, yeah, teams are letting the guys just hit away. At least you don't try to go at the right side of the infield and try to get a hit through, right, allowing the baseman from second to get to third.
How about the three-batter minimum for relievers? I know that some of us on this show were kind of outraged that they were changing it, but I've already gotten used to it.
Yeah, I thought it would have an effect early on. I mean, it still may be. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been any game decided by it. You know, I kept thinking that, okay, some guy's not going to be ready yet. He's going to, come in base-loaded situation and he'll walk in three runs. So that hasn't happened. It will, but I'm surprised it hasn't been a factor yet.
So in terms of the injuries to some of these pitchers, let's start with Verlander. All right, so now Houston is without their best two pitchers from last year. Obviously, Cole's in New York, and Verlander's down. Now, the original report was Verlander had a serious injury. He was going to probably be out for the year, have to get Tommy John. Dusty Baker said, no, that's not the case. Verlander said that's not the case, but who knows? But what does that do? Let's assume Verlander is going to be out a significant amount of time. What does that do to the pecking order now in the American League?
Well, yeah, it's a massive hit for the Astros. And right now they got eight rookies in their bullpen. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the, pecking order is probably, the Yankees, the Minnesota Twins, Cleveland Indians, Oakland A's, Astros are still good. But, Verlander, even if the best-case scenario, he's still going to be out at least a month because, you know, 2 weeks to get re-diagnosed. And then they got to build their arm strength back up. So that's the best case. So now they're, I would still expect him to miss the rest of the season as well, based on the reports. So, yeah, I mean, Houston, that's a big blow. The Rays as well, the Tampa Bay Rays. I still believe those are the Yankees a big time battle, for the division title too.
Are you seeing a lot of these injuries because they're just kind of getting ramped up real quick? They didn't have that time. They obviously missed 4 months. Who knows how much they were thrown on the side and how serious it was? But you think that's what it's attributed to?
Yeah, that's what Dusty Baker said last night. He thinks it's absolutely that's the cause. You look around, there's been a ton of injuries, starters, relievers, and they're not used to that. I mean, it's okay for the position players. Yeah, they can probably get ready in a week, but the pitchers need usually about 5 weeks to ramp back up, and they didn't get those 5 weeks. So, we'll see how many teams it hits. At the end of the day, it might just be whoever's the healthiest, and the team that doesn't get, COVID will be the World Series champion. Battle of survival here.
Bob, is there cause for concern for the Nats with Strasburg missing his first start with the nerve issue in his hand?
Yeah, a little bit for sure. I thought if there was a regular full season, I thought the Nationals would be in trouble. I just thought that pitching staff, pitched so often that they may have trouble, staying healthy. Usually, we see it by World Series champions that just fatigue sets in. So we'll see. I mean, he should have a fresh arm from all the layoff. But, yeah, anytime you have something like that, particularly on opening day, there's got to be a reason for concern.
When we talked about the rule changes with the expansion of the playoffs, I was talking to a buddy about this the other day. I actually like it. I'm not sure where you stand, Bob, but I actually like it. I mean, it's a screwed up, effed up year anyway. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, maybe the traditionalists say, nah, it's going to be watered down. I mean, if the Texas Rangers are going to make the playoffs, it's watered down product, but it's a different year. I really don't even see that much of a benefit to hosting the first three games in that first round because there's probably not going to be fans there. I mean, I know you get the last at bat, but I actually like it. It's a different year. It's a weird year. Switch it up. Like you said, it's just a one-off. How do you feel about the expansion?
Yeah, I like it this way rather than having the top seeds get to pick who they want to play.
Right.
That sort of thing. That was a little silly. But, yeah, in some ways, too, it's more fair than just a one-game playoff because anything can happen in one game. So you keep waiting for some fluke to emerge. Hey, yeah, but you're right. We're going to have some flukes make the playoffs for sure with 16 teams in. But it should almost eliminate any chance of a good team getting left out. And I think that's what would have happened with the 10-team playoff like we would have had a very good team, just not make a cut because it got the slow start, you know, similar to the Nationals last year. So, yeah, and they, I think fans will like it. I mean, they love it. TV loves the sudden death playoff game. But still, best of three is, you know, close and maybe more of a fair thing anyway.
Yeah.
Appreciate the time, Bob. It's Bob Nightingale, Raider.com, MLB Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Thanks, Bob.
Sure. Take care, guys.
Yep. I think it would be cool if you have an 8 seed all of a sudden go on a run. Definitely can happen in baseball. It almost never happens in the NBA. I know it's happened once or twice.
Right? Yeah,
Dikembe Mutombo and the Nuggets did it once, and there might have been one other occasion.
I think you're definitely going to. I mean, what if the Blue Jays are the 8 seed and they play, you know, they're going to play the Yankees or the Rays? I mean, they could absolutely take 2 of 3. Anything can happen in those. And I don't think there's a clear advantage to just play in Yankee Stadium for 3 games. Now, the Yankees are clearly better, but I don't know. I mean, anything can happen. What if the Yankees have a couple injuries, significant injuries then? You're going to see some crazy things in the playoffs. I hope we get there. Mr. Bickle is predicting we do get there. I'm not so sure. But we'll see.
Yep, I think we will.
800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up a little bit later in the program, coming up at 9:45, in fact, we're going to talk to Mike Rabel, Paul's brother, the co-founder of the Premier Lacrosse League. Right here on The Junkie.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We talked about Alex Smith earlier in the show, and we weren't clear where he stood with the Washington Redskins. We knew that his personal doctors cleared him for return to football activities. He could go snowboarding, he could go skiing. His personal doctors said his bone was good to go, and he was healed up. And with the bone and the rod, he could come back to the football field. But we didn't know what was going to happen when he met with Redskins doctors. A tweet from J.P. Finley maybe gives us a little more clarity. Ron Rivera was speaking to the media, and he says that both Alex Smith and Reuben Foster need to show football movement before they get cleared. Neither player has passed a football portion of their physical. So the way that sounds to me is it's just an incomplete physical. So maybe, you know, they looked at the CT scans and they looked at the x-rays, which is what Alex Smith's doctors had done, and maybe they concur, but they need to see how he moves on the football field.
I don't think they're in any rush to get him back on a football field in a full scrimmage or playing capacity. I think that Ron Rivera would love to, A, reduce his salary for 2020 to lessen the cap hit, and they would love to have him mentor Dwayne Haskins. I don't think Ron Rivera is entertaining the possibility of Alex Smith being ready to play in 2020. I just don't think that's going to happen.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think he loves him there as a mentor and a guy who's going to, you know, show Dwayne Haskins, you know, the way to become a professional. I think that has rubbed off on Haskins from what you've seen from him this offseason. But I think it's a pipe dream to think that Alex Smith would compete for the starting job and or play in 2020.
But Finley asked him, Finley just asked Rivera what happens if Alex Smith passes the physical. Now, this you can say is a nebulous response, but he says then he becomes part of the equation. That's what Rivera said.
Right.
But that's kind of a general answer. Part of the equation, you know, he's part of the equation, but doesn't mean he's going to be part of what we do going forward. They could ask him to take a severe salary cut. He might not be willing to do that. They could cut him, trade him. I mean, anything can happen. But those are two different tests, drastically different tests. For a team of doctors just to look at the bone and say, yeah, it's healed, is a totally different test than going out, dropping back, you know, throwing 20-yard outs, scrambling around the field, running away from fast linebackers. That's a totally different test.
True, but my guess is Alex, I have no idea what the football coach is going to say, but I'm guessing that Alex feels confident that he can pass all of those things.
Yeah, maybe.
We saw the video, and it did look like he had a hitch in his giddy-up, but we saw the video on E60, I don't know, seems like a couple of months ago now, and he definitely looked like he was limping around, but you could also say he actually was moving fairly well. You know what I mean? And if he continued the improvement, one would assume that he looks better now than he did a couple months ago or whenever that was filmed.
Yeah. No, that's true. I'm surprised that he was cleared at all by anybody.
And I would guess also that the threshold for being cleared for NFL action is different than your personal doctor just clearing you for going snowboarding or whatever, resuming most physical activities.
Of course.
True, but if he's adept at dropping back, like the footwork drills that they do, all the little, you know, shuffle movements of the feet, and, you know, he can run a 40. He can do all of those things, Cakes.
Yeah, but stepping up into a pocket when there's a lot of traffic around and you got guys stepping on each other's legs and ankles. But
again, I'm willing to wager that he will not be activated to, like, the full roster for the entire 2020 season.
And I would say, by the way, Jason, this is what I would argue. I'd argue he's probably the best at stepping up in the pocket, just based on experience.
I'm just saying things happen in there. I mean, it's unpredictable. And mentally, he may be thinking about that injury every time he drops back. I would. You would.
Listen, again, we've talked about this several times throughout this show. He has – take away the infection, right? That's one part of the equation. He had a broken leg. Guys come back from broken legs. They just do. If the bone has healed, and it's been like 18 months since the bone has healed, and then they've slapped together some other tissue and muscle around it to protect it, and he can do all the stuff, then I can maybe see, and believe me, it's shocking to me, but I can maybe wrap my head around how they can approve it. What almost killed him wasn't the broken bone. It wasn't something that happened, you know, it was an infection. And they had to clear out the infection, and it was grotesque, and it's the sickest thing we've ever seen. And if he comes back, it'd be the greatest comeback I've ever seen in my lifetime. But I can kind of understand what ultimately took him out was a broken bone that has healed.
Compound fracture.
True. And it's much harder to come back from that.
How many guys have come back fully to what they were before with
especially
that sort
guys,
of an injury?
Well, just even to come back. Let's say, I'm not even going to say he's going to come back at an elite level. You'd have to Google that. I don't know the answer. But I'm willing to bet that guys have come back after compound fractures.
I'd have to guess it's rare, especially at his age, mid-30s, compound fracture.
You're putting all these caveats on it.
Medicine is so much better. Like, do you remember just a few years ago, Paul George had a horrific leg injury. And then he's come back, and he's become one of the best players in the NBA once again. It was a terrible – I don't know if it was a compound fracture, but he had a terrible injury to his leg.
I'm just saying it's rare.
It's gross to look at.
It's rare.
I think it's tough to come back. Theismann never did. But that was 40 years ago.
I'm looking at it. The bacteria makes everything different, but Paul George suffered an open tibia fibula fracture.
That's a great one. That's happened to a couple basketball guys.
Right. Yeah.
And they've been able to come back.
He's come back, and
he's not taking hits directly on it.
Totally different sport.
True.
Now, he is cutting on it, true, but he's not taking hits on it.
He's not.
But you see that he's physically able to dunk. He's jumping. It's not like
he's a freak.
He's not a shell of his former self.
No,
medicine is so much better. It's not like when Dominique Wilkins when Dominique Wilkins was at the end of his career and he came back after, I think, tearing his Achilles.
Yeah.
He looked like a different Dominique Wilkins, okay? He was shooting jumpers all the time. He could still score because he's one of the greatest scorers in the history of the game, but he wasn't the human highlight film anymore. But nowadays, you know, we haven't seen it yet, but what we're hearing about John Wall, what we're hearing about Kevin Durant is these guys, different injury, torn Achilles, that these guys are going to come back and you're not even going to be able to tell that they suffered this horrific injury, because in the past, something like a torn Achilles would make you come back as a shell of your former self. So all I'm saying is, if the guy could run a 40 right now, like, I don't know what tests they would do to test his physical ability on the football field. But let's just say it was running a 40, a shuttle run, some of the things they do at the combine. And he was able to do all of that. I don't think you can hold him back. Like I said this again yesterday, and I said this today. Personally, I'm just afraid of the worst for him. But if he can pass all of that stuff, Ron Rivera has to make him part of the equation.
Has well, to evaluate where he is on a skill level at that point.
And by the way, just to a little tangent related to this, because we haven't talked about him much of all, and we haven't included him in the equation really, apparently Bryce Love passed his physical and will be allowed to practice.
Wow.
So now that running back room is really going to be full of potential guys, because you've got Geis.
Yeah.
You've got Peterson. They drafted Antonio Gibson. They drafted Bryce Love a year before, and they've got Barber.
McKissick.
That's six guys
right
there.
It's a full running back room.
You're obviously not going to keep all those guys. Now, Gibson could be moved into the wide receiver depth because there's absolutely none there. So you could get, you know, Trey Quinn could go, and Gibson just sits right there in Quinn's spot. But the running backs, yeah, that's kind of surprising. Hadn't heard his name. Didn't know what was going on with him. I just think the Alex Smith, getting back to him, I just think that, you know, passing any sort of a physical football test where you're dropping back, stepping up into pockets, you know, getting bounced out of a pocket and have to sprint away to the sideline, all of that stuff, I think will be more of a challenge.
I think that would be extremely difficult. But if the bone is healed, they have to clear them. If the bone is healed, I think they have to
clear. Alex Smith be the best quarterback on the roster after suffering that injury?
I doubt he probably – I mean, I just don't know. I don't know. I doubt he probably
well,
is.
Very
and
then do you,
he hasn't played in 2 years.
If he is. If he is, then yeah. It tells you that the Haskins pick was a complete
But win. Haskins is still raw. Look, here's the thing, Jason. I don't want Alex Smith to play in terms of the Redskins. I want Alex Smith to play for the personal redemption, right?
Oh, yeah. I root for him, yes.
Yes.
I root for him.
Right.
I think something that Eric brought up, though, earlier is interesting to kick around. If Alex Smith was 25 and not 35, we probably would be all thinking about this differently.
Definitely. His age definitely comes into play.
100%.
But to me, 35, see, Cakes is always an ageist. To me, 35 for a quarterback is not old. It's older.
I don't think
but,
it's super old for a quarterback.
I think your skills
start to deteriorate around your mid-30s, and it's rare to play really well into your 40s. I mean, there aren't that many quarterbacks that do that, but
Aaron
I think
Rodgers,
a healthy 35-year-old is fine. A 35-year-old coming off of a gruesome injury, and, you know, he wasn't even playing that great when he suffered the injury, I would have major question marks about him going
forward. Okay,
I understand
that. We talked about that a lot yesterday. He's a conservative quarterback. He went a whole season without throwing a touchdown to a wide receiver, and that's just kind of in his DNA. He's very conservative. But to me, in terms of physical ability, I just looked it up. Aaron Rodgers is 36. We could go look. Most of the guys are younger, but I mean, how old is Matt Ryan at this point? How old is Matthew Stafford?
Like early 30s.
Yeah, I mean they're fine quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, but they didn't suffer a horrific leg injury.
Understood, but I just
well, you don't know
that
Alex
Smith
is.
That's the big factor. That's the biggest factor. It's not the age.
What if Alex Smith's only 75% of what he was when he suffered the injury?
In terms of what?
In terms of his physical,
because I would assume
the health of his leg.
If he's 75%, they have to cut him.
His arm talent's going to be the same, right? You're not. You don't believe.
I mean his leg. I don't mean his arm.
Okay. So, but what if he proves to you that he can run the 40 just as fast as he did a year ago?
Impossible.
I would be shocked if that happened.
He's going to run it as fast as he did before he snapped his leg in half.
Why do you find it impossible? I just brought up Paul George.
Okay, but Gordon Hayward had a horrific injury. He's not the same player. the majority of guys who suffer that injury in any sport are not going to be the same.
And George,
I'm not arguing
and
he's
Hayward,
be the same,
younger,
but he is
both
back.
Younger.
Yeah. Those guys are back.
They are back, but they didn't have the infections.
The infection, right, but that is a tissue issue.
If you looked at all three of their legs and put them all up next to each other, you know which one Alex Smith is.
100%. I'm just saying I can understand how a doctor would look at that and go, well, the bone has healed, and he's got some muscle there, so, I mean, I can't say that the bone hasn't healed.
But those doctors didn't say, it's healed enough where you can go play 16 games. They didn't say that.
They actually said no restrictions.
I know, but there's
but that's
a
personal
it's a
doctor.
Level.
That's not an NFL doctor.
It's
correct.
A different level.
A couple of
correct.
Doctors takes. It was a couple.
I'm willing to wager that he never takes a snap in a full practice for the Washington football team ever again. I'll wager that with anybody across the board.
Okay,
right
but that
now.
Might be because that's how the Washington football team's approaching it.
So what is
and
your
that may have to do
what is your
salary?
But what is
we'll
your
just
point
say he
about
he may be physically able to do it? And then this is my thing when people
you mean for another team?
Well. Maybe another team would give him a shot. I don't know. I just know that I would bet he's going to pass the physical, and he's going to pass it completely, including the football activities. Then they may decide to cut him because they don't want him in the quarterback room. They're going all in with Dwayne Haskins, whatever. But I believe that he's going to be recovered enough because I don't think Alex Smith is setting this up that all of a sudden he can't run a 40 or he can't do the
I will
the,
bet
whatever,
you a whopping
whatever,
dollar.
Whatever physical tests that they do for the Redskins, I'm sure he has been working on it, and I'm sure he's capable of doing it.
I'll bet you a full dollar that he does not pass the Washington football team physical.
Ever. Done. At any point this year?
At any Done. Point in 2020.
I'll spit on it.
Can producers get in on that?
Sure, it's a dollar.
What are you
there?
Thinking,
it's
Greg?
A small
you're awfully quiet
over
there.
MGM National Harbor.
Well, there's a lot of flaming going on. I think he'll within a month, he'll be taking full practice snaps.
Really?
Yeah. 1 month.
Mean cakes. Okay. What do you need to see? Do you think Alex Smith is setting this up so that all of a sudden he can barely walk?
I don't know.
What do you need to see?
You need to see a lot.
What do you need to see from Alex Smith on the football field that would convince you that he could play football?
It's just an eye test.
No, I don't think cakes. I think cakes. There's nothing that Alex Smith could do.
Here's what I think.
To make him believe
he
can step
I think
on the
Washington football team. Never expected Alex Smith to
that
Cakes
we all agree.
To this point.
That. I'm saying, what does Cakes need to see from Alex Smith?
It's not, it doesn't matter what I need to see. It's
no,
what
but
the,
I'm asking
it's what
you
the
question.
Doctors need to see.
I know, but I'm asking the you the
need.
Question.
So you be the doctor. What do you need to see as
Cakes?
A doctor? Yeah.
Yes.
What do you need to see as the doctor?
I don't know. I don't set up physical
what do you need
tests
to,
for people.
What do you need
How
to, like,
I know that?
What do you need to be able to, like, jump over a
I'm going to the eye test. My eye test tells me he's never going to take a full practice snap with the Redskins.
Right, that's just
or
because you're
the
looking
Washington
at that,
football team.
That dog-riddled leg, and you know what I mean?
Right.
But you know, I know it looks like a chew toy, but somehow he's figured it out. The bone healed.
Yeah,
I just don't.
But there's a lot more that goes into it that we just don't know.
Oh yeah,
it's so simple to say the bone healed. He can do whatever he wants. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I'm not saying he could do whatever he wants. His doctor's saying it.
Right.
I'm
but
not
what
saying
if he
it.
Could, what if
but they're
I'm surprised
not saying,
they said it.
What if he could
But they
run?
Haven't seen him. But they haven't seen him in a practice. They haven't those doctors
okay,
didn't
but,
see anything. They just looked
at
the
bone scans. But
they've
examined him, and they're saying, there's the bone's healed. What
do
can
we
tell
you?
Do
you think he can't run, Jason? Do you think he can't jump? What if he can do all those things?
He can,
run, jump,
but what if he can only do it? But if he can only do it at
70%
of what he did before,
as long as he can protect himself, look, he's not going to be Cam Newton. He's not going to rush for 700 yards.
He's not going to be Lamar Jackson.
Games. Yeah, he's not going to be that. But
I just can't
as long
wait.
As he can protect himself,
can't wait to be right on this. I just can't wait to be right. I'm going to be so right on this. Just like you were right.
Bobby's going to cut this up. And then
just like you were right with the team name, Cakes.
Hey, I was just going off Dan Snyder. He said he would never change the name. Put it in caps.
Hey, I do want to let
people
know.
That whip changed the name.
On a different note, I want to let people know that you can always bank on the cycle. Bank on the cycle is back. Each week, one fan is going to be chosen for a chance to win $100,000. If a Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during Wednesday's game, no cycle, you still walk away with a $100 gift card thanks to Burke and Herbert Bank. To enter, go to thefandc.com/contests. So we're glad to have that back. Thank you to Burke and Herbert Bank. Coming up next, it is Mike Rabel, the co-founder of the Premier Lacrosse League here on the Junkies.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You know, we never got to mention the Wizards' latest scrimmage.
I was looking for a box score for that. I couldn't find one.
Well, I mean, you can go to NBC Sports Washington, and they kind of break things down. Right. Troy Brown Jr. was impressive. He had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He's one of those guys that can fill up a lot of categories.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some clips of Rui. He had 19 points and 3 rebounds. What I was impressed with Rui is, and he may have always had this, but it looks like he's developing a nice, almost kind of a step-back jumper. Now, nice. It's not your step-back three-pointer that you're seeing from a lot of guys in the league, but it's kind of like a dribble right around to, you know, free-throw line area and then pulling back and knocking that down. So, look, that's what we're going to get from the NBA season, the regular season here for the Washington Wizards. It's probably not going to be a playoff run, but you get to see some of these young guys who they've drafted in the first round, like Rui, like Troy Brown Jr., and you'll see a little more run from them. So, I don't know, just something to keep your eye on.
And by the way, the Caps
starts in a week.
Cakes, Caps start next Monday, correct?
Yeah, it's coming. I think it's August 3rd or 4th.
August 3rd,
which first
is,
game.
Which is the Monday, yeah, because my daughter's birthday is the 4th, so it's Monday they play Tampa.
Yep.
All right,
that's
but what's
thing.
Going on right now is the PLL. And
that's
I know
right.
Jason's a lacrosse fan. Cakes is actually a lacrosse
of
fan.
Of course.
JP's not really, but he's open to it. I don't think he minds it.
I watched a little bit this weekend.
And joining us right now, it's the first time we've had him on the show, is the co-founder of the Premier Lacrosse League, Mike Rabel. Mike, what's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Let me just ask EB this. Do you call him the Nubs Rabel? Because you've always called Sean Glennon the Nubs Glennon.
I don't know. That's a good question. Mike's pretty accomplished,
I'm pretty
though.
I'm pretty Nubs. If you just look at me compared to Paul, I'm like 50, 60 pounds heavier, have no hair on my head. I'd consider that just Nubs on appearance. So We can go with that, fellas.
It's not really true, though, because did you play football at Dartmouth?
I did. I played football at Dartmouth.
He played football at Dartmouth. He's an entrepreneur. He's made a boatload of cash.
Sean Glennon played football at Virginia Tech, and you've called him the Nubs Glennon for years.
Well, his brother's in the NFL. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. A pecking order.
Yeah.
I did play nose guard, though. I mean, you know, nose guard is a pretty Nubs position. You're just, like, sucking up two offensive linemen to free up.
There's no glory there. But it's an important position.
Mike, did you play lacrosse? Real quick, did you play lacrosse?
I did.
I played in high school?
I played at Watkins Mill.
You did.
I was pretty decent. I'm not going to talk about my accolades, but I do have some. It's all good, though.
Could you have played at Dartmouth? Could you have played at Dartmouth?
So my senior year, I actually lost, because I played D-tackle, D-end in high school. I lost before my senior year of lacrosse. I lost like 30 pounds. I ended up being a U.S. Lacrosse All-American, first team All-Gazette. And
nice.
But I was already committed to Dartmouth to play football.
Right.
So the coach at the time, Coach Sewell, called me and was like, hey, you should come play lacrosse. Football coaches found out, called me, and were like, I heard the lacrosse coaches calling. You're not thinking about doing that, are you? And I was like, oh, absolutely not. Yeah. So never played, just focused on football, tried to be good at one sport rather than average two.
All right, well, let's talk about this because we don't have a lot of time. So they're in the middle of their championship series. They found a great way to get a season in, and it's tough. We all know we're seeing what's happening in baseball and the challenges that football is having in the NBA. But these guys plotted this out months ago. They're in the middle of their series. They're in their own bubble in Utah. The event started a few days ago. What is it, 20 games in 16 days, something like that?
You nailed it, man. 20 games, 16 days. We have three games down. We have four games down. Last night we had a delay. We moved the game to tonight. Or sorry, to Wednesday night. We have two games tonight, one at 7 o'clock on NBCSN. It's the Archers versus the Water Dogs.
Right.
And then 9:30 p.m. Eastern, we have the Chrome versus the Redwoods. So we have 16 games left. We're in the bubble. I'm outside our hotel bubble. I'm sitting next to a big HVAC unit trying to make this call so I don't wake up my roommate. but we're excited. We've had three rounds of tests, zero positives, staying very, very focused on keeping a tight bubble, making sure we can get all these games in.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable exposure for the game of lacrosse. Lacrosse gets a lot of attention come like the NCAA tournament, right? And ESPN runs a ton of the games. But at the pro level, it really hasn't gotten a lot of attention. At least so far, 14 of these 20 games are scheduled to be on either NBC The Mothership or NBC The Sports Network. How great has that been for you guys? And do you sit there and sweat the numbers at this? Like, do you watch the games, Mike, and go, man, we need some more goals here because we're trying to get an audience? Or do you not even worry about that?
I'm maniacal about it. I am right. I'm down. I watch the game for a couple minutes, and then I go down and watch the broadcast. If I don't hear the siren loud enough when a goal's scored, I run up to the LEP booth.
Right.
We don't have fans right now, so everything. I was a little bit like this, but like our product is our broadcast and the whole thing, right? Like I get JD is not a lacrosse fan, but my ask is that, JD, you just watch one of these games start to finish and see the innovation we're bringing to broadcast. I wasn't a huge lacrosse. Sorry, guys. He was in this terrible league. And so we went and tried to purchase this league. They didn't take us seriously. So we started a new one on our own in a modern 21st century format, in a tour-based model, bringing social and digital strategy to life. And what I really wanted to bring to the sport, to the broadcast, was just making a former athlete feel like they were on the field again. Because when I play, I can never play football again, right? I can never put pads again. I can never be with my boys on the field again. But if I can feel that way just a little bit by watching a broadcast, that makes me feel a little bit more attached to sport and what I love so much. And so when you watch our games, we bring over 10 cameras to the game. We're doing interviews on the sideline. We're miking four players up. We're talking to them in the game. And our players are cool with this, right? Because they want the exposure for the game. It's the oldest indigenous sport in North America, started by Native Americans. It doesn't get the respect it should. The athletes don't get the respect it should.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
We're bringing that to life. And so all I ask is that you guys try to check out one game and tell me then if you still don't like it, because we're really trying to bring this thing to life.
We got 10 seconds. Plug whatever they need. What do people need to do to get more information about it? 10 seconds.
Go to Premier Looks. Yeah, go to PremierLacrosseLeague.com or check us out on Instagram at PLL.
Thank you so much, Mike. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Fellas. Appreciate
it. Mike Rabel. We got to get out of here for Bish, Cakes, EBM.
Check it out tonight.
We'll see
NBC
you tomorrow.
Sports Network.
Grant and Danny, they're coming up next.
Max Major.
Right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.